Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are comedic, political, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world in our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you, V. We give this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes, so feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our page and podcast to all your friends, family members, and loved ones. Because you truly don't love someone until you have spread the gospel of currently nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen. That boy's sexual chocolate, he good. He good. We are your hosts of this majestic, wonderful, and now AVN award-winning podcast. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture slash sports nerd, which means I could tell you all the intricacies of fantasy football and what model Justin Bieber has his penis in this week. I actually don't know. And now, the man who will tell you all the historical context of the crap we talk about. Ali, take it away.
My name is Ali A. Elomi, a classic nerd of the group, which means I talk about nerdy things before suddenly nerdy became cool and everyone was wearing glasses and suspenders and bow ties. Makes me angry.
My name is V Tran. I cover all the things that Ali and Diz do not, including bow ties and suspenders, glasses, plaid shirts, and you know, comic books and stuff.
Well, you're like the hipster nerd.
Well,
technically, the hipster nerd would be you.
Yeah, because I mean, because you're ahead on all the trends.
Huh.
So, like, your idea of nerdy is what nerdy happened because of Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, right?
J.J.
Abrams.
So
the evolution of the nerd. 90s, what is the nerd, right? Urkel. Yeah.
It's
true.
Screech.
I'm like that jock.
And then early 2000s, you have the release of Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, X-Men.
Uh-huh.
This kind of mainstreaming of the nerd. And so suddenly you could be anyone and say, I love Harry Potter.
Yeah, like me.
Right?
Or sex addict.
Anyone and say, oh yeah, Lord of the Rings is cool. I remember in high school distinctly, I remember reading Lord of the Rings back in the day. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden a bunch of people who would never identify as nerd were talking about watching the Lord of the Rings movie.
And
so technically you would be the hipster nerd. The pop culture nerd is a hipster nerd, right?
I'm not the hipster. I'm like the one who just like catches on the trend. I'm the trendy nerd.
Trendy nerd, okay.
Hipster nerd would be you because you think you were there before everything got cool.
Except I was. Yeah. And I don't claim that it was cool back then. I openly admit it was nerdy. So there's a difference. Yeah. It's not as like... Because hipsters are like, it was cool back then and I was onto it. Like,
yeah.
They're ahead of the trend.
Yeah.
I'm not ahead of the trend. I'm behind the trend.
Yeah. Somehow the trend caught up to you.
The trend just keeps catching up to me. Before long, people are going to be like, I love that Cicero.
What?
Yeah. Who?
Cicero.
Cesaro?
No, Cicero.
Cicero? The famous the writer?
I don't know.
He's actually a famous orator.
Yeah. He's known for?
The Roman Cicero. You've never heard of Cicero before.
I've heard of Cesaro, the Swiss Superman.
No, please tell me that you're putting up a front and you have actually heard of Cicero.
I'm intrigued by this, actually.
I've heard of...
Do you know who Kato is?
Like, from the Lone Ranger?
Kato is from the Green Hornet.
Green Hornet, that's the one. That's Tonto.
Like, these names are not actually ringing a bell.
Kato.
No, please tell me you're joking and you're just putting up a front for the podcast.
No, I know Kato. It's Bruce Lee.
Do you know who Cicero is?
I know Cesaro. I don't know.
Pliny the Elder or the Younger?
Pliny?
What?
Pliny the Elder.
How about Livy? Tacitus?
Livy?
I've said Tacitus on this podcast before.
You have.
In fact, I
corrected it and said it's actually Tacitus. But
yeah.
I've heard you say that word.
You have no idea who Tacitus is.
It sounded like Coos, so I listened.
I don't know who this is.
What's Coos?
Coos means cunt in Farsi.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if I asked you right now to tell me who Cicero is, you have no idea.
Cicero, the short for.
No, not short
Sicario.
For anything.
Sicario.
Sicario is a movie.
I know what
his name is. Cicero.
I know what a Sicario is.
He's a famous orator.
Orator. Someone who tells stories verbally.
No, an orator is a public speaker.
Someone who tells stories verbally. What is his greatest work as an orator?
You have no idea who I'm talking about, do you? The Roman Cicero.
I know Homer.
All right, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with you.
Why?
There's nothing I can
say. I'm an uncultured swine. I thought we knew this already. This is news to you that I don't know who Cicero is? Is this like common knowledge? Does everyone know who Cicero is?
Yeah, everyone knows who Cicero
is. I mean, everyone's read Cicero in high school, haven't they?
It's not like I'm not asking you.
Maybe here, we didn't read Cicero in high school.
Isn't Cicero a high school thing? Yeah.
We didn't
study. Yeah, you probably read a section. You didn't read all of Cicero's.
Yeah, but I mean, you probably read parts of Cicero's work or Cicero's orations.
Like, about what? I don't even remember, like, studying too much.
Do you ever study
Rome?
Listen, let's be real here.
Not really.
I'm not saying that you are a uniquely uncultured swine. You are. But, and I'm not saying everyone knows who Cicero is. Like, he's Tom Brady, right? No, I'm not saying that.
Congratulations.
But most people know Cicero. It's like Julius Caesar, right? He's like one of those Roman figures. And if you went, do you know who Cicero is? Like, oh, I couldn't tell you exactly who it is, but I know of Cicero. I've heard of Cicero. I've either read Cicero or someone's talked about Cicero. He's not like a rare, like, if I said Festus, you'd be like, I don't know who the fuck that is.
That was my brother's name in World of Warcraft.
He's in a random, really small encyclopedian Roman guy, right? Like, he's one of those figures that you go, okay, unless you are a classicist, you don't know who he is.
Well, it's like, if you heard the name Cicero, most people would be like, okay, well,
I've heard
the name. I just don't know who it is.
Like, there's certain Roman figures that are big enough.
The name is familiar.
So same with the Greek figures, right?
Yeah.
There's certain, like, Plato. Yeah,
I know Socrates. That guy.
Aristotle.
Yeah, Socrates.
You know, Aristophanes. You kind of go, okay.
Aristophanes?
Yeah, the playwright.
I know Aristotle. I don't know Aristophanes.
Okay. So think of it like this, like Hulk Hogan to a non-wrestling fan.
Everyone knows who he is.
Like, people know that he's associated with wrestling, even though they're not wrestling people, but they know Hulk Hogan, wrestler.
Okay.
Right? So it's like Cicero.
Or reality TV star.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, a dude who's really oddly
racist,
affectionate to his daughter.
And racist.
Like Trump.
Yeah.
You know, or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's all like his hair is silken, like that of a Chinese man. And he's got the skin of a hot dog, right? That's
how they described him?
Yeah, that's how they describe him. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think Cicero, that in that situation, it's just like, I don't know much of Cicero's work either. I just know he's a Roman,
so,
you know, and he's connected with Rome.
So
like,
here is what we learned in history in high school. Ninth grade was World History 1, right? You learned early civilizations. You didn't go into like too much detail about any early civilization, but you just kind of like every like 3 weeks was a different civilization, right? Two was like pretty much World History 2 was like European history. We learned about the French. I learned that the Edict of Nantes gave religious tolerance for Protestants in France.
Wow.
That was the rhyming mechanism that we learned. So that's how I know what the Edict of Nantes is. It allowed the Protestants religious tolerance in France. Am I incorrect in saying that?
Mm-mm.
See? So I'm correct. Correct. Yes. So we learned that. Junior year was American history. So like we just studied.
I remember sophomore year being American history for us.
No, sophomore year, no. Junior year is American history. So yeah. AP US and junior year.
I did it in sophomore.
And then I did, and sophomore year was either world history or AP Euro.
I took US history in summer school to get done early.
Oh. See, I was in the International Baccalaureate program for history.
You mean International Baccalaureate?
Whatever. Baccalaureate. That's how they said it in French. The IB.
You were actually in the IB program?
Yeah, just in history classes.
Irritable bowel program.
Yeah. Why does that sound surprising to you?
And you don't know who Cicero is.
We never really went through it.
The International Baccalaureate program is kind of like the AP system, but
yeah, it is. It was meant to prepare
you for college.
It was our AP system.
That's what I'm sitting there going.
But we just never went over, like, we went through like Roman mythology and like Greek mythology, but like not like in depth. We just kind of glanced over that shit. And we kind of did the same thing with like China and like Japan And then,
well, you know, we tend to, I mean, history in general tends, it didn't that get, level we, doesn't kind of gloss yeah, over a little
we
bit.
Didn't, we didn't get in depth in anything until like World War One and World War Two, and then
naturally,
and then American history. And like, even then, like pre, like modern history was like just kind of like all like done really quick in like one quarter. So we basically went from like Jamestown to like the Civil War in the first quarter, in 9 weeks worth of like stuff.
That's not pre-modern, that's modern history.
For you, but I'm saying US.
No, that's considered, that's that time period, it's considered modern.
No, like, I mean like current, like, because we didn't.
Yeah, the time, the way history is divided is modern, pre-modern, it's modern, early modern, and pre-modern. Early modern would be from about 1500s.
But when you're specifically just doing U.S. history.
U.S. history is considered modern history.
I know, but like in just that class.
It's all called modern history.
Yeah, I get it. But like we did like early civilization U.S. and then we did.
That's not called early civilization. It's just colonial history.
Yeah, colonial history.
Because the early civilization is Mesopotamia and Egypt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about the U.S. there.
Yeah, it's called colonial history.
Yeah, we did
American
that.
History is called, it's called colonial history and then.
Modern history?
No, it's a called modern.
Just current?
Oh. Post-Civil War.
So then post-Civil War was the rest of the fucking, like, three quarters.
Okay.
Right? Up until, like, current
this
day.
This was what year?
This was junior year. And then senior year was civics. Just government.
Yeah.
There was no history. It was just government. They got rid of history. And
we don't call it civics on the West Coast. For some reason, we just call it American government.
It's called civics.
Or government.
Yeah, civics and AP Gov. Or IBGov.
Would you? I'm still surprised that, like, yeah, no one's expecting you to go in depth. I mean, I literally just taught a world history course last quarter, and it's not that in depth. But you can bet your dollars to donuts that
everyone in there knew who Cicero was before the
by
class.
By the time started. I was done, they knew who Cicero was.
Yeah, by the time you were done, but that's undergraduate like university.
No, they knew who Cicero was. When you ask people, do you know who Cicero is most of? They couldn't tell you what he did. Like they couldn't explain, like, okay, Cicero was a famous orator. He was a politician who opposed Mark Antony. He was prescribed
the singer,
and then killed.
J-Lo's ex-husband.
Eventually killed. Cicero. They couldn't explain his influence.
The name sounds very familiar.
Okay. I mean, the Renaissance is basically a revival of Cicero. Rhetoric as we know it is really influenced by Cicero. Chiasmus, all of that comes from Cicero.
I've never heard of this chiasmus.
Yeah, I don't expect you to know that. That's rhetoric, right? It's, if you don't study rhetoric and oration, you wouldn't know stuff like that. And that's not a big deal, but not knowing who Cicero is, or at least hearing about him.
I've heard the name.
You surprised the shit out of me.
I've heard the name. The more you say his name, the more I'm like, I've heard this name before.
Yeah, you have to. Have Cato, Cicero, Julius Caesar.
Yeah.
These are all people that are like,
yeah, Caesar.
They're big enough. Nero.
Yes.
Right? And then no one knows any emperor until like Constantine. Yes. Some people who are Christian would know Diocletian, right?
So yeah. Christians I know Constantine. He was the Holy Roman Emperor.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't? Then he make cut like the he converted the Roman Empire.
Converted at the end, but
no. But he, I thought he converted.
No, Theodosius does that. The second.
Why am I?
He signs the Edict of the Milvian Bridge or the Edict of Milan.
Is that like
which allows which tolerates Christianity?
Uh-huh.
Christianity was persecuted up until.
I know who Martin Luther is.
Yeah, you know these are kind of like big figures in history.
I know that it was the 90.
This is an old way of doing history too.
95 theses.
History as big figures. Big kind of major figures. It's an old way of doing history. Nowadays, we think of history not as pushed forth by big individuals, but by ordinary actions, daily actions.
I know Maria Antoinette said, let them eat cake.
Maria Antoinette. And that's Maria. Often a misunderstanding.
Let them eat cake.
Because cake is the equivalent of bread.
Yeah. And then there was her husband was Louis the 14th.
There's a lot of Louis, who's for the record famed for developing the French dress into something so expensive and ostentatious that no one could keep up.
I know Versailles and the Treaty of Versailles.
Versailles.
The Treaty of Versailles.
Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah, it was World War One.
There's a lot of treaties in that. Treaty of Paris, Treaty of Versailles.
I know Princip.
Princeps.
Princeps.
I know everyone says Princeps. It's technically that.
Well, because the way I think it's it's spelled, right? Yeah.
And I mean, we say like Princep is a title. It's a word. We say Princep, but in his native, it'd be Princeps. The C is not a.
I know the Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
I know the band Franz Ferdinand.
Take me out. I know that.
Is it named after the Archduke?
It is. Yeah. So the song also very much.
Why do they name it after the Archduke? It's like. Family connection, just no reason.
No, it's the UK band that wanted to name it Franz Ferdinand.
Yeah.
Franz Ferdinand.
I yearn for the days where bands were just named after regions. Kansas, Africa.
Europe.
Europe.
No, Africa, it was a song by Toto.
Oh, yeah, it was. You're right. I just lumped it all together with Africa. Okay, that's another band.
No.
There was Kansas. There was a lot of them, though, for a while.
Boston. Kansas.
Boston. Yeah, Boston.
Boston's a good one.
Boston, Kansas,
Asia,
Europe.
Asia was
that's what I was thinking.
Heat of the moment, right? Heat of the moment.
Yeah, Europe was a band.
Asia's Heat of the Moment.
The Alan Parsons Project.
Which got a second win thanks to Cartman.
Yeah.
Heat of the Moment. One of the songs just came back. All of a sudden, these people weren't even alive.
Who did the final countdown? Was that Europe?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a resurgence based on that Geico commercial.
Final, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's considered one of the worst songs ever.
A lot of those songs like that were really, really catchy back then.
No, dude.
And they're still catchy, but they were the worst songs
ever. I still love the song Africa.
In my mind, I consider them the equivalent of Rihanna's Work, Work, Work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of those songs, is like it's annoyingly catchy. It's a shitty-ass song.
Yeah.
And will be remembered as a shitty ass song, but it will survive. Like, people will be like, oh, yes, the 2010s.
Ooh, that was another song. That was
the aught tens.
Yeah. I will survive. Hey, hey. Oh, like, no, not I.
See, now he's in his element. Now he's correcting me. It's not Africa. Yeah. It's Toto. I asked him who Cicero was. Yeah. Motherfucker gave me a blank stare. Now he's in his element. So this goes back to exactly what we're talking about. You are. The hipster pop culture trendy nerd. I asked you who Cicero was, and you were gone.
So it was
It was like as if I had asked you what your blood type was. Like you were so shocked.
O negative.
I was asking something positive? So intimate.
Cicero.
Like what? And then he mentions Africa, and all of a sudden the song bitch, Africa.
It's Toto.
You went nuts.
It's my element, man. I know these things. Mm. I know random useless informations. Of historical without context.
Trivia.
Yeah, like, I think, like, if we were on, like, a quiz show or, like, at, like, a bar doing, like, one of those trivia nights.
What was those things called? Long, like, they were, and you would, it was, like, trivia.
Trivial Pursuit?
Is it called Trivial Pursuit? No, they came in these, like, long strips.
Oh, yeah.
And the cards and
the little brain quiz thing.
Yeah, brain. Yeah,
brain quest.
Brain quest. I don't, something like that. I had those when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. Kick ass in that shit. But yeah, like if we went to a bar and like we were on a team, like the current Larity team for like one of those bar like trivia nights.
We do trivia at our pub at UCI.
Bro, let's do this shit. Start a currently nerdy team. Kick some ass. I know all the random shit.
But I'm worried that like someone will ask who's Cicero and you'll blank and then we'll look like idiots.
No, but it's like it's a collective group. We write our answer. So it's not like...
It's at UCI. It'll be about gaming.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's the Blizzard.
But like... For that to happen, I would have to take you to a bar. Because it's like, they have
I've
one.
I've been to the pub.
It's called before. Geeks That Drink.
No, I wouldn't go there.
No, not the bar, but that's the name of the thing. Geeks That Drink.
That sounds like a podcast title, Geeks That Drink.
Yeah, but it's also the name of like the trivia game that they have at the bar.
That's a good podcast title.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we should have named that our podcast, but you don't drink.
No, none of you're the only one that drinks.
Well, Geeks With One Alcoholic. I don't know.
I like our name. Fuck you.
Yeah,
I do too.
Speaking of which, I just found out that Blizzard just revealed that one of their Overwatch characters is gay.
Oh, which one?
Tracer. Hmm. So she's on Overwatch. She's this Brit who can travel through time. Mm-hmm. She's a time warping person
and a blinker.
Yeah, she blinks right, and then she can travel through time and stuff. And they just released a Christmas comic, and it turns out that she's gay. She has a girlfriend that she lives with. And
she was a fan favorite. She's
She's Blizzard. She's actually Blizzard's like poster character for
and Overwatch. The fanboy favorite. They love her little perky,
because she's Brit, like bubbly Brit personality,
cheerful.
Yeah.
How do Brits react to that? Like, are they like? Because I know how we are with like homosexuality and like racism and stuff.
It's pretty accepted in Britain.
Because like what that bill just in North Carolina, the bathroom bill didn't get revoked, even though like they thought it was going to get revoked.
Yeah, well, they didn't even.
The U.S. has always been slightly a little bit when it comes to like progressive values,
but like that
we're always a few steps behind.
So like that guy today, right? The YouTuber Adam Saleh, True ASA or whatever the fuck his
thing is. Oh my god. Adam Saleh.
Yeah, that's his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
But so that guy, he was flying back from London to the U.S. So would you think there's like more Americans on that flight than actually?
I don't know what the makeup is. I'm not even going to bother to guess because it could be connecting flights, could be anything, right?
Yeah, it was like Heathrow to like JFK. Heathrow to JFK.
No, UK tends to, it's not like racism, homophobia and stuff doesn't exist. I mean, and particularly, it's pretty virulently there. At times, right? Mm-hmm. Protests and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, racism, police brutality exists, right?
But it's more of a crime there to be racist. You get
it is. You can actually get charged for inciting hate speech, yeah.
Right.
And inciting racism, yeah. Yeah. It's different. We could do a whole podcast on the difference of racism between the US and the UK. UK is less homophobic than we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, they, for example, I've always remarked that their Republicans, their equivalent of Republicans,
or like
the Tories or the Conservatives, are kind of like our Democrats.
Okay.
Our modern Democrats, right? Yeah. In the sense that the real difference, and a friend of mine once said, it's like when it comes to what they call moral issues, we would call social issues. So gender equality, abortion, same-sex marriage, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
The parties are aligned.
Yeah.
The parties are... Even the hard right...
NHS UKIP, and shit.
Right? They're all kind of aligned when it comes to moral issues. There may be differences. Like some Tories are don't believe in same-sex marriage.
Uh-huh.
Right? They believe in Christian values.
Uh-huh.
But in general, like as a party,
mm-hmm.
like David Cameron,
yeah.
pro-same-sex marriage. Okay. Right? It's economy where they differ, right? So labor is
fair enough.
Is labor unions and obviously workers, blue collar workers. Tories believe in what they're called the banking, so they believe in trickle down,
which would
the City of London, right?
Sounds like
they're globalists, et cetera, right?
But
in the U.S., it's different.
Yeah, right? For sure.
It's when it comes, the parties don't just differ economically; they differ socially.
Yeah, that's right. It's a huge difference socially. I don't know. So. I kind of bring him back, the Adam Saleh, whatever the fuck his name is. So if you guys haven't seen, what was it, today when we're recording, which is Wednesday the 21st. Sorry, my days are all combined. He was on a flight back from, I believe, Heathrow to JFK. And he got kicked off a plane for allegedly... speaking to his mom in Arabic on the phone, or so he claims, right? Mm-hmm. Other people are saying he was saying a prayer. Some other people are saying he was trying to, like, pretend like he was doing a skit, and then they kicked him out.
Yeah, someone is claiming they were shouting in Arabic across his friend on the airport,
uh-huh.
or
so,
the airplane.
So, yeah, he got kicked off the plane. Delta released a statement that, like they were causing a disturbance, and that's why they were kicked off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you see in the video like that he posted, right? Like he's Facebook living it, and he's saying like I'm getting kicked off for speaking Arabic, and you see other like people like why are you kicking him off for speaking Arabic?
Only a couple to be
yeah.
honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like two or three people.
It's disheartening when you see and the other person that was speaking up was also a brown person with a beard.
Yeah. Like, who was, like, legit, like, on the verge of tears.
Yeah. People were screaming bye at him, too, though. So it's
there was, like, a lady in the black back flicking him off, you know, like, and they're like, bye, get out, bye. So it's not like they weren't denying, like, his claims that they were kicking him out for speaking in Arabic, you know? And then, like, he got on the news and he was talking to CBS and he said, because he was talking to his mom on the phone in Arabic, and then he was talking to his friend in Arabic, and, like, some lady's, like, speak English, and he's like, I could speak whatever language I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then her husband told him to like shut the fuck up. And then some lady defended him. The lady that was sitting next to him defended him. And then like they were like, oh, the captain needs to see you. Because other people's like, yeah, speak English. Like, don't you know what happened in Germany the other day? Like, I'm uncomfortable with him speaking Arabic on the plane, blah, 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 blah. Now don't get me wrong. Like, this kid, He does a lot of stupid shit.
He does. He's be kind of. Yeah. He's the social experiment guy.
On he's one of the social.
One of fuck. Yeah. And one of these fuckers.
Yeah, like he got caught doing a fake prank with like Muslim profiling with the NYPD. Like he hired an actor to dress up as a cop and like racially profile him.
Well, most of those pranks and social experiments are generally fake. Yeah. Not all of them, but most of them there are heavily, heavily edited.
Yeah. And, like, he pretended, like, he fucking smuggled himself onto, like, a plane.
Oh, yeah, in a suitcase or whatever it was.
Which, yeah, that's not possible to do. They fucking x-ray the shit out of those things. And you weigh at least 160 pounds. Ain't no fucking person.
Well, I mean, remember, YouTube rewards what? Attention.
Yeah.
Rewards by attention.
So, like, I don't condone, like, him, like, playing off of, like, racial stereotypes and, like, race baiting with
skepticism.
You know? Right. So, but I'm not going to deny what happened to him because of that, right? Like, well, he's a prankster. He probably did something, right? Like,
just the day earlier, a woman who was not a YouTuber.
Yeah, she was just reading Syrian art.
She was reading a book on Syrian art.
Yeah.
And she got kicked out.
Yeah. Jeez,
off of the airplane. And Delta's got a long history of it. I think Delta was also the one that kicked off the guy who was doing math.
Yeah, same one. They dragged some like black person out of their chair and like dragged them out of the thing.
Delta's, of all the airlines, they're all pretty bad.
Yeah.
Southwest has done it. American Airlines has done it. But the worst is has been Delta.
Yeah. Like, and then Delta's also the same airline that had a dude on there like a few weeks ago. Like yelling about like Hillary's bitches.
Yeah, Delta's got a pretty bad rep. It's not done a good job.
Yeah, that guy legit causing a disturbance out in the middle of the aisle.
It's fascinating. You don't see as much of it happens, but you don't see as much of it with international air. Just pointing that out, right? Like, yeah, some UK, some British Muslims have been kicked off of airlines before,
mm-hmm.
right? They have in the UK. For example, there was the three couple, the family members, the three that were texting one another, group chatting one another. They were doing WhatsApp, and they got kicked off.
Yeah.
But it's not with the near frequency that we see it here in the U.S.
No.
Right?
Yeah, like
just pointing that out, right?
Like, yeah,
international airlines maybe has something to do with they're a little bit more cultured, maybe a little bit more training. But It's pretty bad when you have one airline that you could point to, like, yeah, they keep kicking Muslims off.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Delta pisses people off a lot.
Yeah, Delta's a shitty airline. But I don't take Delta anymore.
But here's the thing. So you have all these people posting up, like, his past videos and, like, yeah, he's a prankster, he's this. It's, like, you said this before. They do this, like, not to say it's the same level. Like, neither of the two are, like, equal, right? But when a unarmed black man gets shot.
What do you do? It's called discrediting.
Yeah, right? they bring up so like his past.
People of color aren't innocent.
No,
right? They're not presumed in the same way that like a white victim is considered innocent. Right? There's always a presumption of
guilt.
They asked for it.
Yeah,
it's the same way with
women
sex
being
crimes.
Raped.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sex crimes. It's the same thing. Women are always. Not always, but the questions that are asked, right?
Yeah, what were you wearing?
What were you wearing? What were you doing? Implies or the asking a woman's sexual history. This is a very common police
just promiscuous.
Do.
Yeah.
Or how many partners have you had? It's there's a pushback now saying that that's irrelevant.
Right.
But the framework is always what that there is. You've done something yourself. The victim has some burden.
Yeah.
In the same way. With black people, right? When black people are accused of a particular crime or when they're shot or they're victims, right?
Mm-hmm.
Involved in some type of... There's a presumption that there is some burden, right? There's a past there. And if there isn't, then they do it tangentially. Tamir Rice has no crime. He committed no crime. He's a 12-year-old boy.
But his dad had problems.
Had domestic violence charges. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With Muslims, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Well... Were they speaking Arabic? What are their political beliefs? Have they done this before? Do they have a history of this, right? And I think it's valid to be skeptical. It's another thing when you place the burden on the victim
right.
rather than the faceless corporation.
Here's what kind of like annoyed me is like I saw brown people like just discrediting the crap out of them.
Yeah, but the reason that's happened is because they're so... Afraid, they're stuck in a very difficult position, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have two options. One, either it really happened.
Yeah.
Right? That you have to accept the fact that you live in a society in which your religion, culture, language, and identity is criminalized.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or you accept that someone would lie about that.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why when you're left in that position, it makes people, they need to be skeptical.
But then aren't you
being... They don't want to be the hysterical minority. They don't want to be the loud minority. They don't want to be the rebellious minority. So it's, I understand what they're coming. It's wrong. It's the wrong position to take.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand where they're coming from. They're coming from a position of fear.
But with your fear, you're being complicit in oppression.
Yeah, you're certainly being complicit, and you're also apologizing.
For yeah, you're allowing happen. Like oppression to happen. Like
it's a difficult position to be in. And but like, look, this is one of those situations where there isn't really much you can do about it. You can protest, you can boycott. I don't fly Delta anymore. I haven't flown Delta since the math deal. I thought mm-hmm. that was just ridiculous because I look through when I go traveling and I go to my archives. I usually take pictures of the books that I'm looking at,
mm-hmm.
so that I have a copy when I come home. You're usually not supposed to do that,
yeah.
Right? You're actually supposed to not take pictures of stuff, but I do it all the time, right? Because I need to like fuck. What was that phrase, right?
Yeah.
Or was there a smudge on the page that I could interpret or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I take pictures and I look at them sometimes. If I fly Delta, I'm screwed. If math looks suspicious to them, then me.
Yeah, you're fucking at, Muslim artifacts.
Looking at 10, 1400 years ago documents is going to be certainly suspicious.
Yeah.
So I don't fly Delta anymore. I've refused to. But it's a massive corporation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to change its policies unless there's government pressure, which with Sessions, there won't be.
But they're taking a hard stance saying that these guys were causing a disturbance and like that they...
Yeah, but
they
even in cases where they haven't, like so when they've kicked off other people, Delta hasn't actually done anything to change their... I mean, this can be resolved. You make your fucking... These are like the same thing with police, right? Like police mm-hmm. brutality can be resolved.
Yeah.
It's not difficult to resolve it.
Better training.
Yeah, better training. It starts, you won't eliminate systemic oppression.
Correct.
and profiling. You won't, right?
Yeah.
But you can improve it. I mean, we talk about in Europe, for example, in Sweden and whatnot, police train for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, right?
Prior to going out.
Prior to going out. And they all have legal training. In addition to being cops, they have to know the law.
Mm-hmm.
Cops in the U.S. get on-the-job training.
Yeah.
So they have, 6 months, I think it is? It's 3 or 6 months
yeah.
of training, of actual boot camp training.
Yeah, like at the academy.
And then they go out onto the...
Yeah, it's right? nothing.
So that's different. The same thing. You can solve these issues with airlines pretty easily. Make these airlines can make their employees become more culturally sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they recognize that a person speaking Arabic is not an imminent threat.
But, like, here's the thing. I have friends... who flat out said, I'm afraid to speak in my language in public in fear that someone's going to do something or say something to me. Like, that's not a society that we need to live in, where, like, you're afraid to express your culture. Like, I'm an asshole, and I like to do things to just do it. So every time I fly in either my AAC shirt that says Afghan American Conference.
Yeah, I don't think you need to agitate people
either. A shirt that says Team Kabul or a shirt that says Afghanistan on it. Just because, why can't I, right? I like those shirts. They're comfortable. And fuck you.
No, so now that you've admitted that one time that you get kicked off the airline, someone's going to find this podcast and go, well, see, he was asking for it.
Why? Because I'm expressing like my culture.
Whether you like it or not, it's going to be the justification.
If someone was wearing a shirt that said Ireland on it, do they deserve to be kicked off a plane? If someone was wearing like a shirt with the Union Jack on it, should they be kicked off a plane?
No, I'm not saying it's right. It's just... The fact is, this guy also, I mean, the fact that he's a YouTube prank guy
doesn't help.
It worked. It completely worked against it. Like, it's literally, this is naturally, like you said before, it's like you cry wolf enough times, and then when a real wolf shows up, no one's going to believe you.
Yeah, but I'm not going to fucking delegitimize, like, his experience.
Delegitimize
his experience.
No, I'm not either.
No, you should.
Look, the best way to resolve something, this is a legitimate boycott of Delta. If enough people boycott Delta, if enough people refuse to fly Delta unless they start changing their policies and actually training their employees, you'll have change.
Yeah, right? we ain't flying Delta when we go to DC, bro.
But the problem with it is, I mean, airlines are another, like, there's companies that I have issues with. Like, I hate corporations in general, mm-hmm. right? I have a natural antipathy towards them. I'm an animus. But there are certain, like, corporations that I have a particular animus towards. Mm-hmm. Cable companies.
Well, they're the worst. Phone okay. companies.
Phone companies. Cell phone companies. Yeah. I hate cell phone companies.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Because I think these are corporations that I have, there's nothing much you can do about, right?
Yeah.
They've cornered a market.
Yeah.
There's nothing you do. Airlines is another one.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Apartment like buildings.
Apartment yeah. corporations. Not as much. I think they're exploitative, but they're, you know, you could still yell and scream, right?
Yeah.
But the thing with airlines that pisses me off, like, I hate everything about them, from the way the seats are, the fact that they pack us in there like sardines because they're trying to make money. I mean, airlines, you should have fucking couches, right? Mm-hmm. Put me on a fucking couch. Be comfortable.
Well, you have the money to right. afford first class.
Yeah, you're going to buy us a private jet to go to DC.
I wouldn't mind if the way the airlines were set up in the same way that taxis are set up overseas, right? Where you're kind of facing each other, mm-hmm. right? It's like two...
Yeah, or like the way that trains are set up.
Right,
trains.
Yeah. Those are fantastic.
Where there's like that table in the middle and the seats kind of face one another.
A little bit more comfortable.
The only thing is though, you can't recline on those because then you run into a...
Yeah, but you can lay down.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they also, you hear this with big YouTube personalities, the guys like that Callum McSwiggin guy who had claimed that he was attacked outside of a gay club in LA earlier this year.
Who?
Callum McSwiggin.
Who's he?
He's a big YouTube star. Another YouTube guy, right?
Like England or some shit? Or
is yeah. He from Irish, maybe Scottish.
Okay.
But yeah, he had claimed that he was attacked outside of an LA club and that like he was treated like a second class citizen. And, you know, it's like mm-hmm. turns out that his thing was fake for okay. sure. And now it's since that point, since a lot of guys like the Joey Salads, right? They found out that his stuff was all pro right. Mm-hmm. Like, things and you know people are like calling him out, and there was that Australian YouTuber Adrian G who got called out on the news, and he ended up like throwing his mic away and then running away
with that it was like a gold digger prank or something.
Adrian G did he was the blind guy and he was asking people for a change for a $5, but he was giving them a $50 see if they would swap out,
yeah,
right, if they would give him the right change. And turns out that those were all actors too, yeah. And like, oh, this like weird like trying to make out with random girls in a library type shit.
Yeah,
and you find out that like all these guys end up doing fake pranks, or like doing fake things, like they're not actual social experiments because they're not real. Mm-hmm. So and this didn't work in this guy's favor at this point, because now it's like everyone already has a natural kind of doubt towards anyone, any personality, especially does that style of video. I don't know, because he may not have specifically been kicked off because he was speaking Arabic, but the reaction, in my opinion, is the one that we really need to pay attention to, is the fact that you can, like the people who reacted to this video and trying to find ways of discrediting him, not because they knew all the information, but the fact that he was speaking, they thought that he was speaking Arabic and that somehow they needed to attack his credibility to make it seem like it wasn't something about race.
Look, at the end of the day, both of these are systems that are rooted in one very simple concept, and that is capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you have a social media platform that rewards attention,
mm-hmm.
right? Likes, yeah. views,
followers,
yeah. Great Black Mirror episode about that.
Monetizes it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will naturally do things to gain views,
yeah.
right? In the same way, if you reward bad behavior in class, it will create more bad behavior. Yeah. So yeah, of course YouTube will naturally have fakes and frauds and scams and whatnot, mm-hmm. right? And things that are staged. Same thing. Delta is rewarded, right? At the end of the day, it doesn't see an impact in its capital and its money. If its stock doesn't go down, if its people don't stop purchasing Delta, there's no incentive for it mm-hmm. to change. Now, alternatively, you can have the government step in. Right? Yeah. Doesn't often do it. This is supposed to protect civil rights. Won't happen for the next 4 years with the Jeff Sessions Department of Justice. But this is one of the ways of activism: is you hit someone in their pocketbook.
Yeah.
Is you make sure that boycotts. You don't end up doing what the alt-right did with Hamilton, right? Or with their forms, or Starbucks.
Yeah, by buying their product.
Right? Yeah, like. By making something more famous, by making the stock go up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Starbucks became, they went and bought Starbucks. Yeah. That's not protesting it.
Yeah.
Right. That's Starbucks. Sucker. I don't care.
Right.
So you can put your name as whatever you could. We'll call you daddy as long as you buy that venti whatever.
It really goes to show you also how a lot of people just don't understand how corporations really work. At the end of the day, they're monsters created for the sole purpose of creating profit.
Yeah, they don't give a... Yeah. Like the human component isn't there. It doesn't matter, right? So it doesn't matter to a corporation that people get kicked off or people actually feel uncomfortable. It may say that they feel that way,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Verizon goes out of its way to say, we care about our employees. We care about our customers. We want them to have the best, mm-hmm. right? That's why customer service is always like, make sure that people feel good. But at the end of the day, the sole goal is not comfort. It's retention, right? Retention.
Yeah, retention.
To make sure someone stays and you get the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about capital. This ties in actually quite beautifully, in my opinion, to the concept of rebellion.
Right? Mm-hmm.
What type of rebellion?
At the heart of
rebellion?
Of Star Wars.
Oh, the Galactic Rebellion.
So over the weekend... Was it over the weekend?
Yeah.
Star Wars Rogue One came out.
Yeah.
What'd you think, V?
I enjoyed the last 45 minutes of it.
Wait. Hold
Spoiler
on.
Alert
no,
before we
no,
go
no,
any
no,
further.
No,
yes, no, no.
Okay,
stop.
Yes.
Spoiler alert is in effect now.
Yeah. And at least we're giving the warning because you didn't do that shit earlier today.
Fuck off. Honestly, all right? Like, get over it.
Ruin the movies for us. Fuck V.
Okay, where were you going? Was that all you had to say?
That's all I had to say. Fuck
wow,
him.
Okay.
So
no, I really enjoyed it, and like I'll tell you this, the last 45 minutes is iconic, because it's one of these movies, one of the Star Wars movies that done an amazing job of making you kind of go, wow, I really want to go watch A New Hope now, because it literally stops at the very beginning of A New Hope.
Hmm.
Number one, it shows the ferocity that Darth Vader, we've been wanting from Vader.
Yeah, it's to have the best Darth Vader's, it reminds people why Darth Vader was the badass that he was.
Absolutely. He kind of has a dumb line in there, but like other than that, there's a point for you where where you're like, wow, like this really kind of shows that like it's like what happens when that cold breathing becomes anger, right? And it did that really well.
Fury.
Yeah. And you also, there's like a certain, the first half of the movie was them trying to kind of build the characters, but the character development, in my opinion, was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You really had no reason to be connected with any of these characters.
You think that was intentional?
You know, I don't know, because it's like you have to remember that this isn't a traditional Star Wars movie, right?
No.
It's
an
meant,
offshoot.
Yeah, it's,
but this is what people were waiting for, though. Let's be honest with you. It's the type of Star Wars that they wished that Force Awakens was. For the Star Wars fanboys, people are remarking that Rogue One was the Star Wars movie that they had been waiting for.
Yeah.
Because right? It was familiar, but it went in a different direction.
That's
unlike
true.
Force Awakens.
Where it was so familiar. It was literally A New Hope.
New
over
Hope,
again.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There was an interesting idea, and this is actually one part that I appreciated about it, is in the beginning, they did make it a point to put A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away, right? But you didn't get that hit. Of Hans Zimmer. Is it Hans Zimmer that does the Mm-mm. soundtrack? No, who is it?
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Doesn't
know.
Matter. But like, you know, when you hear the orchestra hit, it was, and then it goes into the thing. They didn't do that.
Mm.
Right. It was like, it was different. And they made it a point. It was like, they gave a little bit of lip service in the beginning to their traditional Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they kind of built around things that weren't traditionally Star Wars as well, to kind of show you that it wasn't part of this like iconic trilogy style. Right.
Okay.
Well, if you think about it, the Star Wars movie follows a small group of people over and over again.
Yeah.
You don't realize there's a lot of other things going on at the same time. Like the rebellion isn't Luke and Leia.
Correct.
Yeah.
There's other things going on. Galaxies,
worlds that are all sorts of things going on while things are happening. It's hard for us to follow because we can only usually follow one single storyline, especially in movie form. It's impossible to kind of show how vast events happen when you're on film. It's a little bit easier in books, right? You can do more complicated things in writing.
Like TV shows.
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones.
With Jyn Erso is Felicity Jones' character, the main character. I didn't connect with her that well because she's this rogue maverick and her dad is like the guy who's creating the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like you try to connect with her, but there's something that just doesn't quite get to that point until they really make it a point like they really start going for the Death Star plans.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I have an issue, like I appreciate the lineup of characters because they made it a point to really put a lot of, you know, minority character. You know, there's
I said this earlier.
Yeah.
Right. This is the most diverse Star Wars.
Because
Star Wars is dated, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at Star Wars, as great as Star Wars is, it's actually quite dated. It's when you look at the old movies, it's a...
Yeah, it's white people.
Yeah, but what about...
The vastness of the thing that sci-fi has going for, unlike fantasy. Like, fantasy's... The biggest flaw of fantasy is that it's always been what? Eurocentric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It's based in a European model of a romantic middle age.
Yeah.
Right? Like, middle ages, Lord whatever you want to call it, right? Dark ages. That kind of time period, right? Of probably the 12th century on.
Mm-hmm.
There's this romantic notion of Europe in fantasy always. Yeah. All of fantasy has that. There are some attempts to break away from that, right? Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones is an example of European-style fantasy, right?
Yeah.
Sci-fi has always had going for it diversity, right? Inherent in it. If you ever look at Star Trek, right? Star Trek is a remarkably diverse, not perfect, it's dated too, but quite diverse in the fact that not only do you get multiple people of minorities and ethnicities, but when you say you have multiple races, we mean literally multiple races, right? People that are green and purple and have four ears and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's inherent in all sci-fi. Star Wars has that, but always as a sort of backdrop, right?
Yeah.
Even in regards to aliens, there's what? The Wookiee, Chewbacca, right?
Mm-hmm.
In general, the main cast is always white, and that's been for all the original trilogy and the new trilogy. All six movies... is predominantly white. If you think about the only minority character in the original trilogy is Lando, and he's an auxiliary character. He's not a main character.
He also betrays the white people.
Yeah, and he ends up becoming like a general or whatnot, but he's not a main character.
They had Mace Windu in the new trilogy.
They have Mace Windu, but again, Mace Windu is what? An auxiliary.
He actually doesn't play he doesn't play...
Major lines and major roles are predominantly white in all six Star Wars movies.
Okay, the six that with what's his face?
With
Lucas.
George.
The George Lucas.
The George Lucas.
The six. The trilogy in the trilogy. There's no other trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, because like The Force Awakens, they're doing a trilogy, but like
Force Awakens has Finn and whatnot, right?
Yeah.
So there's more to it, but this has been the most diverse.
Yeah, so you have like Jyn Erso, woman, main character.
Yeah.
Cassian Andor is played by Diego Luna, the Spanish guy.
Yeah.
You know, and you also have guys like Donnie Yen and Jiang Wen who play Shroot Imwe and Baze Malbus, who are Asian.
Yeah.
Right, I thought that was a weird Donnie Yen's.
That's the dude from Ip Man, right?
Yeah, and he also played Snowman in Blade 2.
Yeah,
but it's weird because they made him this blind kung fu master with a bow staff.
Yeah, I thought
so. That was kind of odd. And they fit this Force thing in there where he's like this like holy man.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he like.
But that's what he does in every movie, dude. He's like a martial artist guy.
Yeah,
that's his
image. But is he doesn't? He's not a Force user.
No. But he's like a wise man who believes in the power.
Can he use
the
Force in any way?
No, he doesn't really use. Although there's a point where they kind of give a little bit of. It's a weird homage to it, where it's like they're.
And how does he fight blind?
It's the thing. It's like there's one fight where he's like in a small city and he's like he just uses his bow staff thingy, but it like converts to like a blaster, right? But there's one point which is where he has to pull a switch. There's fire going, like people, the stormtroopers are shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts saying, I am one with the Force. The Force is, he just keeps catching that and he just walks. And all the Force, the blasters.
Maybe he's
like,
a Force sensitive.
Yeah, you know, like it's one of the, but it was one of those. And then it was a little bit, it was kind of ridiculous because his big friend, right, Baze, like doesn't believe in all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he becomes like this convert type guy who
the Force
as well.
One thing I'm pretty sure is because the Force is not just one of the things that the original trilogy does is it talks about the Force in a very nebulous way.
Yeah.
It doesn't go further. And that's understandable because the Force was just being introduced.
Yeah.
But the Force in the Star Wars universe has a religious component to it. There are whole systems that work with the Force in a dogmatic fashion in the sense that there's a dogma to it. That the Force isn't just a power, like an energy that you use, but it's also a kind of sentience, right? It becomes part of, and it's naturally part of the original conception of the Force, which has some elements of Taoism in it, some elements of Zen Buddhism, some elements of Sufism. It's kind of an element, it brings kind of this universalist notion of mysticism together. Now, so you have these space sorcerers, but there is a religious dynamic to it. What I find fascinating about Rogue One, most people thought it was a good movie. People really liked it. Fanboys are excited about it. Mm-hmm. Best Star Wars movie in their mind, they think, right? They're better than Force Awakens. They enjoyed it. They got the badass Darth Vader scene. But Star Wars in particular for me is interesting because Star Wars is rooted in a leftist tradition,
mm-hmm.
right? In this idea of fighting against fascism. And that's not particularly unique to George Lucas, but George Lucas and Steven Spielberg both have this kind of, the big bad is always who? The Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Actually, yeah. The director of this tweeted that it was, Empire was a white supremacist.
No, of course it is. You know, like, but that's the heart, that's been the heart of it for a long time. And in some ways, this is really rooted in this leftist idea of rebellion, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at the original notion of the kind of heart of rebellion, it's Marxist, right? The first kind of conception of the left is the unification of a universal proletariat,
mm-hmm.
right? The working class overthrowing the factory owner, the bourgeoisie,
yeah.
right? There's all sorts of elements of the bourgeoisie that, you know, from collecting and whatever, bourgeois culture and education and whatnot that you can go into, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the original,
yeah.
right? Class struggle, overthrowing the factory ruling, owners and the bourgeois by the working class.
Like the ruling class.
Yeah. This has evolved, right, into not just overthrowing the bourgeois, but overthrowing the system itself, right? That the system produces a type of power that oppresses people.
So like hegemony. Animal Farm?
An example of this would be Gramsci. So Gramsci comes up with this idea of, Antonio Gramsci comes up with this idea of a war of position and a war of maneuvers. That it's not just outright rebellion, like it's organic revolution, right? In the same way that the French Revolution happened. But rather is a constant struggle of ideological conflict,
mm-hmm.
right? You have one ideology on this side, another ideology on this side, and then physically fighting one another.
Mm-hmm.
This in many ways is at the heart of Star Wars, right? Okay. You have two separate different ideologies, right? Now, it's not rooted in the Gramscian Marxist tradition. This is not the proletariat overthrowing the bourgeois.
No.
But it's filtered through the anti-fascism of Adorno and Horkheimer, right. who yeah. argue that democracy and free market capitalism becomes what?
Fascism.
Fascism. Either fascism in Europe or corporatism in America, mm-hmm. right? The original trilogy really brings in the Nazi elements. Stormtroopers, imperial uniforms, right? An emperor, Führer, yeah. right? Very all there. The expanded universe helps us understand it even further. The imperial ideology is supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
It also is human supremacist. Wookiees are suppressed. Other aliens are suppressed. Wookiees are completely enslaved at one point.
So it's like humanoid yeah. beings.
Not humanoid, humans. Because Wookiees are humanoid.
Oh, they call them humans?
Yeah. Well, I mean, humanoids are anything that look human, even if they're not. If they walk on 2 feet, that's called humanoid.
Oh, okay.
So, and then when we go to the new trilogy, right, with Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith,
mm-hmm.
right? Is that
yeah.
the first one?
Revenge of the Sith, yeah. last one, yeah.
I have the you high really ground. See this kind of idea of Adorno and Horkheimer manifest brilliantly, right? The Emperor doesn't take over by
killing
conquering yeah. everything. What does he do? He's elected.
Yeah. yeah.
He's elected chancellor.
Yeah, he plays the long game.
He plays the long game. You could say, oh, he manipulated everyone, used the yeah. force. But people elect him. They elect him and they give him emergency powers. He never gives
fucking
emergency
Jar Jar Binks.
And then he reorients democracy into fascism, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty poignant statement for today's society. And Star Wars has always done that, right? Mm-hmm. George Lucas has always been conscious of that. When he wrote Star Wars, we were coming out of an era that had just defeated Nazism. So it was familiar, this defeat against this fight against evil,
mm-hmm.
right? When the new trilogy came out, the Star Wars Phantom Menace 1, 2, and 3, right?
Yeah.
This was the era of George Bush.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah,
it came out in the fourth grade. It came out
right
before,
but it continued through George Bush's era.
Yeah.
And we know this because he consciously even said so. He invokes George Bush in statements where he says, "I am the Senate."
Uh-huh.
That's a George Bush line where he says, "We are the government."
Yeah,
right. you're either with me or you're against me, mm-hmm. is what Anakin says. And Obi-Wan goes, only a Sith speaks in absolutes. Mm-hmm. Famously, uh-huh. George Bush said what?
You're either with us or against
us. You're either with us or you're against us. So he consciously is invoking that element. So it's fascinating once again to see Star Wars kind of emerge or kind of come out in an era where we're once more dealing with a type of government that is authoritarian.
Question. Now,
as a kind of funny aside, Star Wars saw us through the Bush eras, as did Harry Potter. And both Star Wars and Harry Potter are now relaunching during the era of Trump.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, the original Star Wars trilogy came out under whose presidency?
Early 80s. So you would see, I mean, Reagan was there. Reagan was there, but he wasn't, the original George Lucas was making a Nazi reference more than a,
yeah,
because there's no Reaganite character.
But then even the, like the Nazi concept is one that's very familiar, because it's one of the few times that we went, these are the absolute bad guys no matter what.
Yeah.
So you just know, yeah.
This is, and this is at the heart of Star Wars, right? Because Star Wars, as much as people claim is a sci-fi, is really operatic. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a clash against good versus evil.
Yeah.
It's a clash of great cosmic kind of worldwide universal forces, an empire and a rebellion. And the rebellion is the fight against fascism, right? It's the patriotic allies fighting against the Nazis, right? Mm-hmm. And against a force that is overwhelmingly more powerful than they are. There is a flaw in that, though. There is a flaw. It's rooted in the rebellion tradition of the left. That's great. That's fascinating. It gives us a kind of cultural experience or cultural language to talk about political, understand political circumstances or what's going on currently. But there is a flaw in the argument, and that is, one, you see the rebellion as what? A fight against one great man against another great man, right? So the Empire is personified in what? Darth Vader
and Palpatine.
Not in a system
that
needs overthrowing. Killing the Emperor does what? Brings the Empire down. But in reality, an Empire survives emperors.
That's true, yeah.
Emperors die, they come and go, but the system of empire remains.
Kublai Khan, Genghis Khan, you know.
Right. Well, it actually shows, it's like, because then even if the head dies, they just elect a new one. Like there's no...
It just continues on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the example of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
I mean, if the emperor died, the Roman Empire would have ended ages ago.
Yeah.
But empires continue. The idea is that empires are structural. Right. Uh-huh. So the understanding of rebellion is against an individual, a dark figure, not against a system. They say they're fighting the Empire, but the Empire is synonymous with Palpatine and Darth Vader.
Yeah.
They're not saying they're fighting against the system, which is why Rogue One, I think, is in some ways a nice intervention to the Star Wars movie. It moves away from this idea of rebellion and conflict as two great individuals fighting one another. I mean, the heart of the Star Wars battle, the Star Wars kind of drama is what? Jedi versus Jedi.
Yeah.
It's literally resolved in what? A lightsaber battle.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying we should completely do away with it. I think that's fantastic because you can't, that humanizes it. You can't make it too abstract. Mm-hmm. There's something quite dramatic about a father and son fighting it out with lightsabers.
And the lightsabers are like the dopest parts of Star Wars.
No way of getting rid of it. But I think if we move away as that's the only and central way of conflict, right? Because if you go back to the Lord of the Rings notion of heroism, who is the hero of the Lord of the Rings series?
The Fellowship.
Nope. Who is it?
Frodo.
It's Frodo. It's the Hobbit. It's Sam, technically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because Sam's the one that picks
Sam's
him up.
Sam's the one that picks him up, right? Yeah. So it's actually what? It's the because he... He envisions heroism as not Aragorn, not Boromir, not even not Legolas, not Gimli, not these great warrior types.
Not Gandalf.
Gandalf's a counselor. Not these great warrior types, but what? Everyday ordinary acts of courage, right? The hobbits are very ordinary people. And they kind of they do a riff off of this in the Hobbit movies,
mm-hmm.
right? Because J.K. Rowling, J.R. Tolkien never actually explains it. Jolkin Rowling Tolkien, that person, in the Hobbit movies, they ask, why the hobbits? And he goes, Saruman thinks that you defeat evil with great acts of power,
mm-hmm.
right? but it's ordinary people. It's small acts of kindness that change the world. And that's at the heart of Lord of the Rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
An ordinary person. Frodo's not unique.
Frodo's a bitch.
Frodo is not unique. Samwise is not unique. They're just... But the whole point of the Hobbits is that they're meant to represent the British spirit. They're homey. They want to eat a lot.
They don't want to leave the Shire.
They don't want to leave the Shire. They're little Englanders, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're little Londoners. They just want to kind of stay in their little... And it's a romanticization of the countryside of England.
Okay.
But what are they able to do? They're able to do what no one else can. It's not the great empires fighting it out, right? And so in some ways, I think if we could return to that model, right... That this is a new generation that's growing up, a new generation that's going to grow up with Star Wars. In the same way that we are shaped, our notions of good versus evil, of our, I mean, all of us go Nazism evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the only time in history we can point to a group of people and go, those were the bad guys and we were the good guys. You don't quite do that with like Attila the Hun and the Romans.
What about
the
Civil War?
Right? The Civil War even, the Confederacy is romanticized by people.
That's true.
No one goes in Germany goes, Nazism, that was a time when we really, we were great. Other than Nazis,
yeah.
Right? So it was one of those moments where we saw good and evil in very clear contrast terms in history. There's a new generation growing up, and Star Wars is going to impact them immensely. In the same way that Harry Potter impacted our generation, people forget that Harry Potter, I mean, they did a whole study on this, how elementary school kids that read Harry Potter were voiced themselves more as anti-discrimination mm-hmm. and more inclusive than people who didn't read Harry Potter. They were more inclined to be pro-same-sex marriage, pro-racial equality, gender equality, etc.
We stood up for the Mudbloods.
Right, because at the heart of Harry Potter's story is what? It's a fight against the KKK,
yeah.
against white supremacists.
Yep.
Right? That's the heart of J.K. Rowling's story. And on one level, fantasy and sci-fi and books and these epics, they reflect society. But on the other hand, they impact them. So you're going to have a generation that's growing up with this new concept of Star Wars. And I'm not saying get rid of the Jedi or get rid of the Sith or get rid of that storyline. I think that epic storyline is always going to be at the heart of it. But imagine if you had a fight against the Empire that also included fighting against slavery, fighting against the economic exploitation that the Empire does, right? Because the Empire food rations takes the rations for the Empire and leaves their colonies broken, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. That imagine if you had those stories. And Rogue One hints at that. Rogue One is a kind of intervention into the Star Wars saga in that direction. Another really great example of this is Star Wars Rebels. I mean, and people go, it's a Disney production, but it's actually quite good. It starts off as really stealing from the Empire's food. Mm-hmm. And giving back to the people who don't have
like a food. Robin Hood story.
It starts off a little bit like that. Imagine if you had more Star Wars stories like that. This is a generation that is going to be shaped at least 4 years, maybe eight, with a Trump presidency, right?
Yeah.
This is a new world. Star Wars can usher in new ideas of rebellions so that we're not always waiting for what? The Obama figures. The
Correct.
Great Jedi to come in. The orator Cicero to come in and tell us, this is what we need to do and rally the people. But rather that activism, rebellion is at the heart of it, everyday activities. So that's, you know, I liked Rogue One in that sense, seeing the trajectory of the notion of leftist rebellion against fascism. That was my dissertation. That's my dissertation topic.
I like
someone's going to write a dissertation topic on Star Wars and fascism. There already is one on Star Wars and fascism. I don't think anyone's done it quite on Star Wars and rebellion, but we'll see.
We have to do our part by not eating at Chick-fil-A.
Fuck Chick-fil-A. Diz, why don't you take us out?
I just enjoyed that you brought it back to Cicero.
You like that, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can catch us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, like our page, follow us, write in our wall, send us some cool stuff. We're on the Twitter, @currentlynerdy on Twitter. I'm not going to put a hashtag of the week this week because no one fucking follows it anyway. We're on currentlynerdy. We're on currentlynerdy, clearly. We're on Instagram, currentlynerdy on there. Follow us, like our pictures, write some comments, make Beep yell that he's special. We're on the Tumblr for all the Tumblrites, Tumblrers, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com, reblog, follow, all that stuff. YouTube, go search currentlynerdy. Give me a thumbs up for my new video on the Dakota Access Pipeline. And watch out for Ali's Harry Potter Fantastic Beasts versus Cursed Child video that's coming out soon. And iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. Please, 5-star ratings and reviews. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, tell them how to get a hold of you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's V-Y TRAN214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali.
You can catch me on my website at aliolomi.com, aliolomi.com. I just published a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago a review article published in the Journal of International and Global Studies. Go check that out. You can also catch me on Twitter at aaolomi. Diz.
Dizbulla, D-I-Z-B-U-L-L-A-H.
For everyone here currently nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerd.
And we love you unless you go to the dark side.